This is an invitation to spend 15 minutes with the Bible. This is the third program of this series. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher for the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is between McMinnville and Biola, just across from Mount Zion Road. And all are welcome to all of our assemblies. In previous programs, I've been talking about Psalm 119. I want to continue to do that on this program because there's so much here. Of course, I started it off as the tribute to the Bible that lies in the midst of this psalm, and we'll be discussing that as well. But the way I teach this psalm is by showing that it speaks to us of three incomprehensible things. That is God's creation and God's word and then our sin. I'm not going to go over all that we've covered in previous program, but I didn't quite get through with this part about God's creation. You may want to turn in your Bible to Psalm 19 and follow along with me. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Let me reread the first part, and then I want to point something out that we didn't mention in the last program. Here's how it goes. Psalm 19, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. I pointed out in that program that their line, well, that's what they're saying, like an actor would say his lines. That's the message that they're sending forth, and how that parallels their words, the line to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Did you know that those words are used by Paul in Romans chapter 10, verses 17 and 18? He uses them to teach something a little different. Here in this psalm, he is showing that the glory of God as seen by the creation is universal. That message that creation sends to man goes to all the world. Now, Paul uses those words from this psalm to talk about how the gospel is universal and the gospel is preached into all the world. The passage is Romans 10, verses 17 and 18. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now the next verse. But I say, have they not heard? Yea, verily, here it is, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. This is reflecting God's desire that the gospel is to be preached into all the world. But now let's get back to the psalm. As Psalm 19 is talking about the glory of God as seen in the heavens, he zeroes in on the sun. There is nothing in the sky that is more dominant than the sun. In fact, that sun is so powerful and so bright that you really can't look directly at it. Our eyes are designed so that if we try, well, the pain that it causes to our eyes causes us to look away, and it's a good thing, for it would damage our eyesight. Well, David talks about the sun in the 19th Psalm. Here's what he says. In them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heavens, and his circuit into the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. I find it interesting in the King James Version how it says, in them, he's talking about in the heavens, he hath set a tabernacle for the sun. The word tabernacle is usually a word that means tent. It is a dwelling. It's a place to stay, but it's a dwelling that moves. And you know, that describes how the sun goes across the sky. It not only moves from east to west, but throughout the year, it also moves north and south. It's not in a stationary place in our sky, as it appears, as we watch that on from the earth's perspective, looking toward the sun. But it moves like a tent, like a tabernacle. So in them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. And then he says, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. I think of some weddings that I have attended. And of course, when they play the song and the bride is coming down the aisle, often escorted by the father, everyone stands and turns back and watches the beautiful bride coming down the aisle. But sometimes I turn around and look at the groom and look at that beaming groom. I know that in some marriage ceremonies, I've seen the groom come from a chamber. There'll be a door up front of the building, and he comes out, and that groom is just beaming in this day of his rejoicing as he receives his bride. You look at that beaming bridegroom, and you can imagine that beaming sun coming up in the morning as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and then rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. I've seen those racers when the shot was fired and the race began, and look at the intensity of their faces as they head down that track determined to make that circuit. And so also that sun comes forth. If you ever watch a sunrise, the sun seems to come forth speedily, and it's going to keep that pace up until it crosses all across the sky and reaches that finish line in the evening. It says in Psalm 19 in verse 6, his going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit into the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. And so the brightness and the heat that comes from the sun as it shines throughout the day. You know, we read in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 1, I want to find that passage right quick. Romans chapter 1, and it talks about that which may be known of God in Romans chapter 1 and verse 19. That which may be known of God is manifest, for God has shown it unto them. Here it is in verse 20. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He's talking about what we can see and learn of God from looking at his creation. And when you look at that powerful sun that is so bright and so moving across the sky, and nothing is hid from the heat thereof, well, you get some idea of the power of the God that made that sun. And so we see that invisible quality of God displayed by those things which are made. Now the psalm makes a turn now. After showing what we learn about God from his creation, he talks about what we learn from his word. And I would call the revelation of his word the second incomprehensible thing that is in this psalm. Now, it's not that the word cannot be understood, but it cannot be fully understood, or at least fully appreciated. Why, you can tell Bible stories to children, and children can pick them up right readily. But you take an old sage that has spent his life studying this word, and still he will find things in there that he had never seen before as he continues to study. And his appreciation for it grows deeper and deeper, and his hunger and thirst for the things that are revealed in this word just continue to grow throughout his years. And so you could never fully grasp it. In that sense, I'm calling it the incomprehensible word. And notice how he talks about this word. Now, there's several parallel statements. He begins, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Isn't that interesting how he begins with the law? You know, there's a lot of people today that don't like law. They have a libertarian idea, and in politics, I can see that of some value. But some people have carried that libertarian idea they have in politics into their talk about God and his law. They don't even want God telling them what to do. But not David. He delighted in God's law. In the first psalm, he says, in the law is his delight, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. In Psalm 119 in verse 97, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. God has a law for man. He has a rule he wants man to go by and live by, and he has revealed it unto him in his word. And those that love God keep his commandments. They keep his commandments out of love, and so they love the law, because the law shows them what God would have them to do, and that's what they want to do. And the law of the Lord is perfect. Now that means it is complete. Now I know we use that word perfect as in the idea of flawless. And surely what God has revealed to us in his word, that is flawless. But the word perfect in the Bible very often carries with it the idea of complete. And here's what we learn by that. The law of the Lord is perfect. If we will do what God would have us to do as it is revealed in his word, then we've done everything we need to do. That is perfect. It's complete. There's nothing lacking here. And it is converting the soul. I want to remind you, the first program in this series, we were talking about Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, where it says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's converting you. Your soul, your life, your being, who you are, is transformed as we come to the knowledge and understanding of God's law, as we come to live in accordance with that law. Now the second, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Here it is. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Is sure, and you can count on it. And making wise the simple. The simple here has to do with the humble. And those that will be humble to listen to what God has said, they will become wise. That's what Jesus is talking about in the Beatitudes when he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It takes that humility to receive the things that God says. So the testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. Here's the third one. The statutes of the Lord are right, and rejoicing the heart. You know, there is a joy in knowing that we can do what is right, and it thrills the soul. And then the commandment of the Lord, there we go again. It is pure, enlightening the eyes. And I think of enlightening. I think of how the lights come on. And I'm thinking of Psalm 119, verses 105, where it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so it lights us from within so that we have an understanding. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Now, the fear of the Lord has to do with the respect that we have for God's word. You see, the respect we show toward God's word is a reflection of the respect that we have for God himself, and it endures forever. You know, God's word endures forever. In 1 Peter 1, 22 through 25, Peter said, "Seeing you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God." He's calling the word of God the incorruptible seed. Incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That idea of the gospel is the incorruptible seed. Planted in the hearts of the first century, it made Christians. Planted into the hearts of men today, it will do the same thing. Because the seed is incorruptible. We're going to have to stop now, and we'll resume at the next program with Psalm 19. This has been 15 Minutes with the Bible. I'm Bill Boyd. You may email me or text me at wmhboyd@aol.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.